On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au. RTO 3935.
7 minutes past six. Happy Monday here on Time On. Well, it hasn't taken long, has it, for the first major off-field controversy of AFL footy in 2018. A Saturday that began with a casual surf in Torquay with mates, ended in Jordan Dugowie with P-plates on his car, blowing nearly double the legal limit and notching his second indiscretion with the Collingwood Footy Club in just 11 months. It was a horrendous mistake and one that could have ended a lot worse than being pulled over by police. He fronted the entire Collingwood list this morning, not just to apologise, but, and this is the significant part, to admit that he had a problem with his social behaviour. He then imposed two bans on himself, one drinking and the other an indefinite suspension from the senior team, one that he doesn't want to end until his coach and perhaps more importantly, his captain and his teammates trust him again. He will soon begin work as a tradie on a building site full time, Monday to Friday for a month, and he will train at night with the VFL squad. Now, in fact, as we go to air tonight, just down the road, on Olympic Boulevard, Jordan Dugowie is lacing up his boots, preparing to train for the first time with the VFL squad tonight. So how will we look back on this in 12 months, 2 years, maybe even 10? A strong statement, but ultimately one that wasn't fulfilled, or the making of a great turnaround story? I think I speak for a lot of people when I say, I hope it's the latter. Because as Jeff Walsh said today, the time for talking is over. 9429 1116. As always on Time On, your views on the news. Now, the news is he's beginning training already tonight, the same day that he imposed the senior team suspension on himself. He's decided to give himself a $10,000 donation to charity, from him to charity, on top of his $10,000 fine. He's decided to work full-time on a building site for a month. He has temporarily taken away the one thing that adds value from him to the Collingwood Footy Club, and that's playing for them. So the question is, what more could he do? He's made a bad error, but what more could he do? I want to hear from you. Your views on the news. 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. Prizes as always here on Time On. It's also a score review. If you've got some score reviews over the weekend, 9429 1116. Let's hear from Scott Penderbury, the captain of the Collingwood Footy Club. In the last hour, has fronted the media, and this is what he said to AFL.com.au.
Well, I think footy's not the issue here. I think footy he does really well. It's outside of footy and getting that balance right. So, yeah, we clearly know what he can do on a football field, but off it is where he needs to improve, and now we support him to try and get better in that regard.
That's Scott Penderbury there. He's just leaving training. As I mentioned, tonight, if you're just tuning in to Time On, it's 10 minutes past 6 on this Monday evening. Down the road at Olympic Boulevard, Jordan Dugowie lacing up his boots, ready to train with the VFL squad for the first time tonight, the same day he placed two bans on himself. Now, whatever reports you've listened to, and we've asked to hear from the AFLPA, we've asked to speak to the Collingwood Footy Club, we've asked to speak to his manager, all have politely said no, they'll leave it for the day. This ban has been placed on Jordan Dugowie by himself, not by the Collingwood Footy Club. He turned up today, before training, before anyone else, and said to Nathan Buckley and Jeff Walsh, this is what I think should happen. 9429 1116, as always, on Time On, your views on the news. Furry's on the road. Hello, Furry.
G'day, how you going? Just thought I'd, just talk about the whole business and the fact that there seems to be a lot of AFL players that are really come from a very privileged background as far as, you know, how they get to live their life. And the concern is that some of these players are only just used to that sort of way of life because they come straight from school, like Jordan Dugowie. Clubs like Port Adelaide, as an example, put processes in place within the community. So as soon as the kids come in, they're immediately entrenched into that whole community. You've got to work for the community. You've got to do everything for community. So it bases them a lot more in real life rather than this privileged environment.
Yep.
And Collingwood get that a lot. They seem to have that a lot, where their players get in trouble. They have a history of players getting into trouble like this because I think they think they're above what normal people have to live with.
So you think, Ferry, it's a holistic problem at the Collingwood Footy Club?
I think, yeah, we're just looking at Jordan Dugowie, but Collingwood comes with a history of these type of offences over a number of years. You know, you think back at Alan Didak and a whole variety of things that have happened at various times. I think they've got to be using these guys and saying, okay, you've got to get more into the community and base yourself as part of the community because you're just another human being rather than a very privileged footballer who leads a very wonderful lifestyle in many ways.
Appreciate your call, Ferry. Lots of people want to have their say. Dan's on the ride. Hello, Dan.
Oh, g'day, guys. I just think maybe run the water for 4 weeks. So, obviously, do the training sessions, but on top of that, he sits in with a water person and understands what they do on a day-to-day basis, but also run the water for four weeks on the road, also on the weekly on the park. And so at least he knows exactly what the support staff do to help the team. So at least he can hear what all the other kind of crowd say when he's out on the ground saying, well, look, this guy is a great player, but he's had to run water. It's a reality check for him, I think.
Appreciate your call, Dan. Lots of people want to have their say, not only on the calls, but also the SMS. One's just come through. Sam, he had no choice. He was probably facing the sack. What do you want us to do? Pat him on the back? I don't think so. I'm not asking that we pat him on the back. I'm simply asking the question, what more could he do? Jordan Ngoi has today decided to take away the one thing that can help Nathan Buckley and the Collingwood Footy Club, and that is him playing in the senior team. He's no good playing in the VFL, but he's going to have to, and he's not going to get back from the VFL. It doesn't matter how much he dominates. Until Scott Pendlebury and his fellow leaders and his fellow teammates can look him in the eye and say, we trust you again. Appreciate your call, Dan. Andy's on the road. Hello, Andy.
Hey, Sam. Just a couple of points, mate.
Sure, mate.
Obviously, you got the new gig, but in your previous life as a roving reporter, surely you've been fed these kind of lines. You're telling me that he came up with this without his management and Collingwood Football Club? It doesn't pass the pub test, mate. That guy should not be playing for the bye. He could have killed someone. The second point is, I just don't reckon that Buckley's got that playing group. Like, it wasn't a night session. It was an actual day session where you're drinking with your mates at an event or something like that. So, you know, he's drinking the whole day and then he gets behind the wheel. Look, I follow Brisbane, and I just reckon if that was Lee Matthews that was coaching, look, he's reformed the likes of Mal Michael and Mark Pike, and those two would make Ngoi look like an absolute choir boy. I just don't reckon they respect Nathan Buckley at all. Like, it was only 8 o'clock at night that he got busted. I just reckon that plays as shambles.
Andy, I appreciate your call. I just want to pick up on a couple of things. One, I think it's desperately unfair to blame this on Nathan Buckley. I think if anyone at the Collingwood Footy Club's been let down the most, it's Nathan Buckley. Second point I want to raise to you is, you know, people, and you're not the first person to say this on Talkback Radio today and yesterday, Andy, is that, you know, he got behind the wheel drunk. He could have killed someone. Absolutely. And that's the number one thing that going above and beyond all of this. Luckily, as I said in my introduction, luckily he was pulled over by police. It could have ended tragically. Now, he has been dealt with by police for that, like anyone else, and like anyone else should be. He's had his license disqualified for 6 months. He doesn't have to front court because he blew .095. You have to front court if you blow .1 or over. He'll have an interlocking device fitted into his car for 6 months when he returns to driving, and he'll receive a hefty fine. He's been dealt with for his drink driving. This is above and beyond that he has gone. So that's the point that I'm making. And your first point, did he sit down with his management? Of course he would have. His manager, Ben Nile, would have had a lot to do with what he thought the ban he should have suggested for himself. Andy, appreciate your call, as always. Damien's in Croydon North. Hello, Damien.
G'day. I think there's not much more he could have done on his own as far as imposing all this stuff on himself. But the problem I've got with it is it's all reactive after the fact.
Yep.
I mean, the two core things here are, after the indiscretion that he had last year, the excessive drinking we've talked about, so he shouldn't have been drinking in the pre-season that excessively, considering the season's going to start sooner than we think. And two, we've already got a growing list of injuries. We've got Darcy Moore, we've got Fazzolo, we've got...
Jamie Elliott,
Daniel Wells, a host of players. So by him not being able to play, he's let the whole playing list down. We're already under the pump as a club as it is to make finals.
Yep.
So the maturity in how they think as professional athletes, this guy is still very, very immature. Like, he's young. He's 21. But People have been talking about processes at the club and Nathan Buckley and everything else. If anyone thinks for 1 second that the club hasn't reiterated how important it is to control your drinking and everything else during the pre-season, some players have just got thicker heads than others, and unfortunately, the goalie's going to learn the hard way, but it's just a real shame. It's an absolutely real shame.
Yeah, your last point's the pertinent one, Damien. It's a real shame. He's going to see a psychologist as well. As I said, he admitted and stood up in front of his teammates today and admitted that he has a problem socially, behaviourally. It's a pretty big admission. David's in Essendon. Appreciate your call, David. David's in Essendon. Hello, David. Welcome to Time On.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. I'm a long-term Pies member.
Yep.
I agree with the earlier caller. We've had blokes in the past that have had similar indiscretions, but I think the key thing is here that like Jeff Walsh has been through all this. He's dealt with issues with Swan, Heath Shaw and Dyack in the past, and he was able to help those guys through those issues and turn them in, and help turn them with the coaching staff at the time into premiership players. Like obviously DeGoey's made a clear judgment in driving, but like you said, it's a police matter. Now we've got to deal with the football issues.
Yep.
And I think it's perfect what they've done is given him an indefinite suspension. If he proves himself right over the next 3 or 4 weeks and does everything right, there's no reason why he doesn't play round one against Hawthorn. If he's got the faith back of the players, he plays. Simple as that.
Yeah, David, love your call. I think it's going to take a little bit longer than 3 or 4 weeks, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. The two people that I would want at their helm with an issue like this, Jeff Walsh and Nathan Buckley. You couldn't have a better person than Jeff Walsh with his vast experience that David was talking about to deal with an issue like this. And you know, there's no one more than Jeff Walsh and Nathan Buckley who want Jordan DeGoey to turn this around. No one more. Bruno is in Gisborne. Hello, Bruno.
G'day, fellas. There you go. And I've got a different take on this.
Yep.
Mate, I just can't believe how many bloody do-gooders there are out there who want to hang this kid. At the end of the day, he's a 21-year-old lad who's made a blue, he's lost his licence, he's been dealt with by the police. It's a massive overreaction, mate. A massive overreaction.
Bruno, I don't disagree with the theory of what you're saying, but it's made worse, isn't it, that it's less than a year after he was caught lying about how he broke his hand?
Yeah, I understand that. So he's made two blues. I mean, some guys take longer to learn than others, but...
Yep, they do,
mate,
that's
to
true.
To say that he's let down the club and lost their trust... Mate, do you honestly think that the rest of the playing group give two hoots whether he has a driver's licence or not?
Yeah, no, I do. I'm going to disagree with you there, Bruno. I think they do care because I think they care about someone letting them down with their trust. I mean, he let them down once. He lied. Nathan Buckley had to front a press conference laughing about how he broke his hand playing with a dog, and it was a complete lie. I think for it to be less than a year later and he's let the club down again, I think they do care, Bruno. But appreciate your opinion. As always, Tom's in Mill Park.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries,
Tom. I've got a completely different view on this, and I'm looking at it from a holistic point of view where I think in some respects the AFL need to take control in this, and I'll state what is the bleeding obvious in that it's a privilege to play football. There's 1,100-plus players that put their name up at the draft. 70-odd kids, 100-odd kids get picked, whatever it works out to be. To them, it should be a privilege. When you sign a contract, that privilege, if you breach those privileges, if you breach a contract that says you are not to drink, you are not to take drugs, you know what? Your termination of employment is how it should be. That's how society works. We treat the kids with kid gloves. We give them every opportunity to reform. I don't know that that's the way we should do that. I think you'll find very quickly that a lot of players would pull their heads in very quickly if the AFL turned around and said, zero tolerance, you are here, we pay you a lot of, your clubs pay you a lot of money, and it is time that you deliver as in a social capacity. You need to be a hell of a lot more disciplined, but that's my view.
Tom, appreciate your view. I think that this sense that because someone's being paid more money than the average person, that they suddenly realise things better. I think it's a furphy. I think we need to understand that just because a 21-year-old kid is on $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year, which is a lot more than the average person, it's in the top echelon, no doubt about it. It doesn't make them more aware of things or better at not making mistakes. They're still going to make mistakes, and we have to understand that and deal with it as a society. It's not going to stop because... you know, they're human beings after all. James is in Northcote. Hello, James.
Yeah, one guy rang in earlier saying that Port Adelaide had a good system, but I seem to recall almost the exact analogous situation last summer or the summer before with one of their players having a day drinking session and then getting in the car. But I'm not going to name names, lest I get it wrong. But I think it's just a common thing of, you know, when the drink's in, the brain's out.
Appreciate your call, James. Got to get through the callers. They are stacking up. Ray's in Langwarrin. Hello, Ray. Welcome to Time On, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. I'm not going to defend him, but he is a young fella. Now, I had an Interlock agency, and he's in for a hard time on his own. He's going to be walking. He's going to have a record. He's going to have an Interlock in his car.
Yep.
I think it's a little bit harsh, and I want to make a comparison that rubbed me up the wrong way a long time ago. Dusty Martin, Richmond had a anti-domestic violence campaign going, and although he never got charged or anything like that, he threatened a woman, and nothing came of it from his club. And correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that he got nothing and went straight on the field. I think this is blown out of proportion with DeGoey. He's going to cop what he's going to cop from the police, the courts, his licence, his record of drink driving, and having an Interlock in your car is a horrible thing. As I said, I had an agency. I think he's going to get his own desserts. I don't think we all need to attack him.
Yeah, Ray, one of your points is well made, and he's copped this right whack already. I mean, both privately and publicly. There's no doubt about that. I think your comparison with the Dustin Martin thing's a little bit unfair. We've got to be careful what we say, given it was a police investigation. I think the term is allegedly threatened a woman, and for what it's worth, I did a lot of work on that story. There were some things that didn't add up in as far as the woman involved in that incident, and I think the reason that charges weren't laid, you can read into it what you want, but Dustin Martin, ultimately, whatever happened, he was cleared by police. Sam in Bundoora, we've got to take a break, Sam, but we'll sneak you in beforehand.
Yeah, you've got a very holier-than-thou listener base. I mean, it's very easy to cast stones if you just on from a distance. I'm sure 95% of your listener base have actually broken the law at least once. And you got to go easy. This kid, he's only a kid.
Yep.
And he's pretty well admitted as such that he was a dick to his own teammates. So, you know, cut him some slack. Because even at this age now, a lot of us adults, we still transgress the law.
We all make mistakes, don't we, Sam?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately for Jordan, and people always say it's not the mistakes you make, it's your actions after and how you react. He's made another tremendously bad one a year later. But my point at the start of the show, Sam, was that given all the things that he's done today, what more can you ask him to do?
Not much else.
Yeah.
The kid basically owned up to the fact that he was an idiot, and he's trying to rectify that. If he continues to basically, you know, transgress, well, his manager, well, Jeff Walsh has basically said, you're gone. What else can be done? You know what? I bet you there's other kids that are listening to your station. There's other adults that have kids of their own that smoke dope, that take pills, that drive under without a shadow of a doubt.
Sam,
this guy's actually admitted that he was wrong.
Yeah, Sam, appreciate your call. Love the passion, mate. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I'm not sure the bit at the end there, but I agree. He's made two really bad blues. I'm not sure what else he could have done today to try to prove that he wants to turn things around. Hey, and by the way, there have been plenty of comeback stories from kids the age of 21. We know he's a star footballer. Let's hope he can turn it around. We'll still take your calls. 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. A lot of people want to have their say. Wow, Jordan DeGoey, the reaction's still coming through. 9429 1116. News, if you weren't tuning in off the top of the show, he's currently about to begin training only a few hundred metres up the road here from SEN on Olympic Boulevard at Olympic Park with his VFL team. He actually trained today, did a weight session and a running session with Jeremy Howe away from the main group, and he's decided if he's going to start his penance, he might as well start the same day he decided to put it on himself. So the VFL squad is training tonight. He will be there, Jordan DeGoey. 9429 1116. The callers are still there. We're going to get to them. But before that, Monday, as always, is score review. Score review time on Mondays. And if you've got your score review, what happened over the weekend that didn't get her enough attention? Maybe there was something that happened yesterday that, because of the Jordan Ngawi story and the hype that it was receiving, maybe something went under the radar. Can I give you a couple? One, Icon Park. Saturday night, I sit down and watch the game between Carlton and Brisbane in the AFLW. You could barely see the players. Now, why have the lights got to a stage where we are halfway through the second season, essentially, of AFLW, and the lights at Icon Park are basically not safe? Now, it's got to be the AFL, it's got to be Carlton, it's got to be both of them. But how has that not received more attention? I tell you what also should have received more attention. In the W League, the Women's A League, Melbourne City winning three flags from three, three championships from three. That is an astonishing result for any sporting organisation. Well done to Melbourne City. And score reviews, we go back to Jordan Ngawi. Of every single minute detail that was analysed within an inch of its life over the last 36 hours, how about Jordan Ngawi's mates that drove him back from Torquay, dropped him in his car in Port Melbourne, and we can only assume that they knew he would have been drinking, they knew as mates that he was a P-player, let him get in his car. Forget that he's an AFL footballer. Some mates, they must be, to let him get behind the wheel of the car. Grab his keys. Throw them out the window. Do whatever. Drive him to Hampton. If you're not a good enough mate to drive him home, at least get an Uber for him. That's gone under the radar in this. What's your score review from the weekend? 9-4-2-9-11-16. We've got prizes galore here at Time On. Let's get back to the callers. Vince is in Wheelers Hill. Vince, welcome to Time On.
Oh, thank you for your time. I'm actually quite appalled. I'm a passionate Collingwood supporter.
Yep.
But to hear people have sympathy for Ngawi. Fact is, Ngawi's the luckiest person alive today, but his life would have been changed if he would have harmed or one of our children were on the road, on the wrong side of things. The penalty, in my view, I think the law, one, is harsh, but that's not harsh enough. But at a minimum, I think he should be off the field for 6 months. Right, and be forced to go and confront some families and see with lost ones the impact he could have had on people's lives.
Yeah, so but Vince, don't you think, Vince, I'm sorry to cut you off and keep having this discussion, don't you think, Vince, that he has been dealt with for that crime by Victoria Police as any other person who blew .095 would have been? It's hard to argue that he's been let off lightly if he's had that punishment from Victoria Police and the punishment from the Collingwood Footy Club that he suggested. I mean, that's not getting off lightly, is it?
No, I think it is. I think it was, fact of the matter is, all the community, the young ones are zero limit, right? He was 10 times over. He, I think it's pretty easy. You know, he's got off very lightly in that he'll, you know, everything will be forgotten in a month or 2 months' time. But the consequences of what he was done, I don't know, he's going to learn.
Let's hope he does, Vince. Appreciate your passion, mate. Nick's in Strathmore. Hello, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Score review.
Score review. First of the Monday.
Score review. See, T20 cricket on Friday. 40 overs, nearly 500 runs scored.
Yep.
And it's received bugger all.
Is that, Nick, love the score review. Is that more of a reflection on the coverage of it, or is it more of a reflection on the fact that it's scheduled in a time when not many people care about T20 international cricket?
I reckon cricket's just about finished at the moment now the footy started again, but still, you know, we're talking about an Australian team overseas, chasing down 243 runs in 20 overs with an over to spare. They've got a bad effort.
Great score review from you, Nick. Steve's in Ferntree Gully. Hello, Steve.
G'day, guys. Sam, how you going?
Good, mate.
Look, just on Jordan Ngawi, heard someone call in and do the Dustin Martin comparison. And another one at Richmond, which is a little bit closer, was the one last year with Nathan Broad. And, you know, which is interesting, it involves another female that lodged a complaint and then it was shut down pretty quickly. But regardless, I think he's only got 3 weeks. This girl's left extremely embarrassed along with her family, along with the football club. He gets 3 weeks. He doesn't get any penalty for Victoria Police off the back of it. I'd actually like to see the league take control of these penalties, rather than the club, so you start to get some consistency. And I think they've got to come back to finding the players, and perhaps they should be able to fine up to 10% of the player's salary. So if you're earning 400, the fine's up to 40. That's when I think it'll start making a difference to these guys, when it starts hurting in the pocket.
Steve, I think it's a really grey area that we enter when a club punishment has got to go on top of a punishment from Victoria Police. I think that's the hard one. And people have been comparing all day Jordan Degoe today to Luke Hodge, who, you know, we know was it the week off between the finals, was caught after a poker night, blowing over 0.05 and was allowed to play in the finals. Yeah, well, a couple of things there. Luke Hodge has some credits in the bank and was a premiership captain, of which obviously Jordan Degoe is not. And secondly, Luke Hodge didn't admit that he had a behavioural problem. You know, it was a one-off. Jordan Degoe admitted to his teammates and his coach and his footy manager and his manager today that he had a problem. So I think it's horses for courses. Steve, appreciate your call. Simon is in Aspendale. Hello, Simon.
Oh, good afternoon. Just one quick point. It's a live score review, if you may, but these gentlemen that are calling him a kid is aged between 7 and 11. A young adolescent's between 11 and 15. This guy's an adult, a young adult. He's not a kid.
You know, he's
after my check.
No, that's fair. He is an adult, colloquially known as a kid in footy terms, I think, Simon, but you are right. He is an adult in the eyes of the law.
Correct. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Simon. Brian's in Sydney. Hello, Brian.
I get a mate score review for the AFLX at Allianz Stadium on Saturday.
Yes.
Basically, I was there. I wasn't expecting the best, but if you're actually a participator in the crowd, it was actually fantastic. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. It's really good.
What did you like about the fan engagement at the AFLX, Brian?
Well, see, the thing is, you don't pick it up on TV, but when you're there, there's a lot of, you know, stuff going on in the background. Even the kiss cam on the scoreboard in between games, as the day went on and people had a few drinks, that just got funnier and funnier. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff for kids. There was music. It was non-stop. The only thing I think of downside of it was they put the cameras on the wrong side. So on TV, it looked like there was no one there. And the actual site that had all the supporters on wasn't in the background of the games.
Yeah, that's funny, Brian, because I watched it in TV and I thought what a lot of other people would have thought. Geez, there's not many people there. But as you've correctly used score review, something that went under the radar that we're not paying enough attention, the fan engagement in Sydney was great. Love your call, Brian. Mark's in Backers Marsh. Hello, Mark.
Hey, score review. old mate a few calls back. Friday night cricket was a debacle. They prime us all summer with 2020, Big Bash, and they let us down badly.
Yep.
And I know they got these rules, you know, if it's international overseas, it's got to be Foxtel and Channel 9. But Channel 9 owns a chunk of Foxtel. You reckon they could work hand in hand a little bit sometimes, especially with a unique competition like this that's played in two different countries and split in half. But seriously, you missed out on a world record chase. Not good enough.
Yeah, not good enough, Mark. Not happy score review about the cricket. Merlin's in Bulleen. Hello, Merlin.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Look, I've tuned in a bit late. I missed a bit of the commentary running about Luke Hodge and the comparison. And I just want to say I disagree a little bit with your comments with your previous caller just a couple of callers ago. I mean, he was their captain when he had his incident with the drink driving, and that was right on the eve of finals. And I just feel like this kid is, I mean, yeah, he's made a mistake, and yeah, fair enough, he deserves his whack that he's got today, but... Yep. It's just like Luke Hodge, I feel like he should have been, he was an adult, he's a fully grown man and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, I just felt like Hawthorn just slipped it under the radar and just kind of let him off the hook. I mean, I just find it really frustrating, the inconsistency in these sort of things. And, you know, maybe it is a good idea if the AFL is going to jump in and kind of regulate these sort of penalties, because, you know, they would have really suffered if he didn't capture them through the finals and stuff. So I just find it a bit frustrating.
Merlin, appreciate your call. Lots of traffic on the SMS. This one from Andrew. It says, Sam, I had to stop the motorcycle to send this text. Seriously, he is an overpaid role model as much as he is a footballer. He's lucky. He'd be gone if I employed him in that role. It's the second time in 2 years. Forget the police. I reckon Bucks would be appalled. Well, it's good that we're providing, a platform for you to get so passionate about, Andrew, that you had to stop driving. And it's obviously a great thing that you did stop driving and didn't text while driving. But, look, I don't think he's an overpaid footballer. I think he's a footballer that's paid what the market is willing to pay him. And just to go back to my point, just because he is a footballer that is paid more than 99% of Australians doesn't automatically make his decision-making suddenly better. You know, a lot of these guys go straight from high school, some even
before and go straight into an AFL club land with, you know, no education after school. You're not going to guarantee that these guys are all good decision makers. I think it's a really grey area. Raf's in Meadow Heights. Hello, Raf. Sorry, that was Raf. Peter is in Carnegie. Hello, Peter.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you, mate.
I can't believe all of this nonsense about the high moral ground that we're applying on footballers compared to anyone else in society, and this whole notion that because he gets paid more, he has a higher moral obligation to anyone else, it just astounds me. I mean, the fact of the matter is, actually, can I ask you this? Do you know how many people get caught drink driving and drug driving in Victoria each year?
No, Peter, you've caught me on the hop there. I don't. It would be
9,000 people get caught drug driving and about the same drink driving. So there's around, let's say, 20,000 people getting around each year, blowing the limit in some way, shape or form. Now, why are they any different to Jordan DeGoey? Why shouldn't they be losing their jobs? Why shouldn't they be giving $20,000 or $10,000 donations? I mean, why are we placing such a high moral obligation on a footballer to anyone else in society?
Well, Peter, I'll answer you, and it's a reasonable point that you bring up, I'll answer you with this, is because AFL footballers, whether they like it or not, like a lot of athletes, are treated to a higher account and held to a higher account than the average person that makes these sort of mistakes. Because on average, on a good Friday night, about 1 million people will sit down and watch Channel 7 and Fox Footy to see these guys play. They receive more attention than the average person. Now, the only reason they receive that attention is because that's what the marketplace offers. It's supply and demand. That's why they're in the public limelight. Peter, I appreciate your call, and it's a question that's asked often, and I think that's the best way to answer it. Whether these guys like it or not, they are in the public spectrum, really. They've got public profiles.
It was very difficult, and it's about in the moment, and people are watching, so you have to sometimes just put on a face and say the right things, and I believe what I say, obviously, but it was disappointing. It's not what I wanted. I was out there to get through to the last round and throw down a really big skill, but it's a judge sport, and things sometimes go our way and sometimes they don't, and once the decision had been made, there was just nothing more I could do about it, so there's no point in dwelling on it. Just have to accept it and move on.
Well, if you got to work this morning and you weren't talking about Jordan DeGoey, the chances are you were talking about David Morris, because that incident late last night, if you weren't in bed and stayed up, it got the sporting world talking. Was he robbed or was it fair? Well, Jackie Cooper has been doing an amazing job as a Channel 7 Winter Olympics commentator. Well, she's catching all the action from Pyeongchang on 7-7, mate, and the Olympics on 7 app. Joins us on Time On. Jackie, thanks for your time. Give it to us straight. Was he robbed or was it fair enough?
Look, I'm just going to give you, I guess, how it's judged. So when I was looking at him and giving expert commentary, out of 10, 7 points are awarded for air and form and 3 are awarded to landing. Mm. Out of 10 then, there's 3 judges because you drop the high and the low on the 5. So you end up with 3 scoring judges and it's times by the degree of difficulty. They've had some major form breaks in the third somersault. Like he actually bent his knees hard to make sure he landed. And when he did land, he stumbled. Mm. So there were some problems there with his jump. There was problems with the Chinese gentleman, Jay-Z's jump as well. So, but he was straight in the air. His form was perfect. There wouldn't have been too much the judges could take away there, where Dave had some major form breaks. They both had a stumble on landing. Dave recovered well, like he's an awesome skier.
Yep.
He's an awesome skier, and he saved that. I think even in my commentary I said, well, there's his skiing skills paying off right now, where Jay-Z didn't regain control, and he fell in the flat. Now, the flat is between the steep of the landing hill and the very bottom. It's very hard at speed to try and regain any type of control if you didn't have it in the first few metres from skiing out. The judges are meant to stop looking after about 10 metres. That's the sort of golden rule. So they're now saying that, well, we're not judging the exit, we're judging the landing and the control, and they say they had very similar control on landing.
Okay, so Jackie, that's the key point, that last one, isn't it? Because a lot of people watching it, and of course we all become experts on the Winter Olympics for the 2 weeks that we sit in our couches and watch it.
Yeah.
But when Ji Zongyang, or Jay-Z as he was called throughout the tournament, when he stumbled, it looked to me, as someone that have never watched the event before apart from in Sochi, that his stumble came after he actually regained control in his landing, and he almost just slipped over celebrating.
Yeah, that's actually happened. There was an Olympic gold medal once. She actually threw her arm up to celebrate it. She dislocated it by punching the air, fell forward, and lost.
Right.
Because of the over-celebration. So, look, I don't know where the judges stopped judging. It used to be 10 metres, but they've changed the entire way they judge the sport. Mm. They used to have 7 judges, 5 were for air and form, and 2 just stayed at the judging end of the landing hill and just judged landing. They were landing judge experts. And then you had the technical air and form judging experts. And then they put all of those technical scores together and they timed it by the degree of difficulty, and then you got your score. Now they've got 5 judges and they're meant to judge the landing, they're meant to judge the takeoff, they're meant to judge the height, the form. There's a lot to see and judge in less than 3 seconds. Mm. I'm not too sure how you can get it right. And with the new judges, the way that the judges are doing, you're going to end up with situations like this where I guess the whole thing will be looked at, will be under scrutiny. You know, it's really hard to say, like, if the judges are only meant to judge for 10 metres, well, I would say, well, Jay-Z probably had the better jump because his air, his form, his technical, I guess, display was better than Dave's because Dave had the major form break just to land. But Dave's control was better all the way right through to, you know, he was, you know, celebrating when he was waiting for his score.
Mm.
So I'd love to know where the judges, and they should answer this so we can all sort of have some closure. At what point do you stop judging? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to know that, Jackie. Jackie, before we let you go, and if you're just tuning in to Time On, Jackie Cooper, Channel 7 Winter Olympics commentator, we've had an incident in the curling, can you believe, with doping allegations levelled at a Russian.
Right. I actually haven't seen that. I've been away from all of that today, but I don't want to say, you know, like, look, I don't want to say anything.
No, Jackie, that's fine. There's a lot that happens over an Olympic Games. I know that as well as everyone, so you can't be across absolutely everything.
I will. Look, I spend a lot of time on the WADA Athletes Commission. We're across a whole lot of doping scandals,
yep.
A lot of doping, you know, incidences. And I do know that WADA is trying to, you know, narrow the gap between the pharmacists, the illegal, you know, drug cheats, all of that stuff. So it's really, really difficult. Olympic athletes to actually have a doping test positive at the Games, that is highly unusual. Highly unusual. Mm. Well, I reckon what's happened, without knowing too much about it, it could be inadvertent doping where someone's just taken some cough medicine, because believe it or not, over-the-counter medications that everyone who's listening tonight takes for granted that you can use, athletes can't have them because they can be used as masking agents. They can be used as all sorts of things to either hide a positive result, whatever it might be. But there's every January 1st of every year, there's a new list of drugs, prohibited list, that's put out. And sometimes people, given that it's only February, they might not be up to date on their prohibited list. And it could be some inadvertent doping. Doping at the Olympics is normally months and months after, when there's been some retrospective testing. And then they find out there was some drug cheats from A, B, C, D and E countries. So to have it happen at the Olympics and to come straight away, I'm sure those competitors are just as shocked as everybody else.
Jackie, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the Games.
No worries. Thanks, bye.
Jackie Cooper there, Channel 7 Winter Olympics commentator. Catch all the action from Pyeongchang on 7. By the way, that Russian that we were just asking Jackie about, and I've been to the Olympics at Rio, I know how many stories go around, and it's hard when you're on the scene to know all about it. It's Alexander Krushelnitsky. You might have read about it a little bit. He's the subject of a doping case that's been opened by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. He won bronze with his wife in the mixed doubles of the curling. That was back on Tuesday. He is suspected of testing positive to meldonium, which, when we go back, that was the same thing I reckon Maria Sharapova tested positive to as well. The case was opened at the request of the IOC. Got time for one call, I reckon, before the break. Billy in Pakenham. Hello, Billy.
Hey, mate, how are you?
I'm very well.
Great show. A couple of things. If people knew about me and judged me on the worst mistake I'd made in my life, Jordan DeGoey would look like an angel. And I want to give you 3 names. Brad Fittler, Ricky Ponting,
yep.
And Roger Federer. Each of those blokes, I mean, I remember Brad Fittler woke up in drunk outside a nightclub one night. Ricky Ponting, I think, was dropped from the Australian cricket team.
After being involved in a scuffle at a pub?
I wonder what we will be saying. I hope this kid goes on, and I'm not excusing what he did, but I hope he goes on and wins a couple of Brownlows and finishes really well.
Yep.
Because if I was judged by the mistakes I'd made, that's just no way to live life and no way to be remembered.
Billy, a really nice way to end the Jordan Degoe discussion. Still people want to have their say. We are coming up to the 7 o'clock news. Time on for Master Builders Training Victoria. Nick in Doreen, our last text that's going to be read out. He says, no employer has a right to bring personal matters into the workplace, nor do they have a right to force a person to live or behave a certain way for the privilege of employment. You're paying them to do a job, and if they're doing it well, then that's it. If you've got regulations in place that prevent the player or employee being able to perform or work for the reason you've signed them up for, whether it be overt personal, moral ideologies or political correctness, then that's on you and your business. We're humans. We are not robots. Red Time headlines before the 7 o'clock news. Neville Jetta has been cleared of any wrongdoing after allegations of eye gouging on Blake Hardwick. That was in the AFLX on Friday. Taylor Harris has copped a one-match ban from the AFL match review officer, Michael Christian. The Western Bulldogs have confirmed Katie Brennan has suffered ligament damage to her ankle, but they are confident she will be back before the end of the season. And Steve-O, Mark Stevens at Channel 7, reporting this evening that Patrick Dangerfield is set to miss Geelong's first JLT series match against the Gold Coast in Townsville. He'll have just the one hit out against Essendon in Colac on March 11 before playing round one. Well, that's it for another bumper edition of Time On. As always, guys, really appreciate you having a big say and really having an impact on the show. As always, we're here to provide you with the news and you for us to provide your views on the news. We'll be back tomorrow from 6.